Would everybody turn to the back of their bulletins and let us prepare to share our opening words. Lord, prepare us to receive your healing words. May we be the good soil getting ready for the seeds of God's love.
May we bear the good fruit of salvation to honor God. Amen.
Okay, congregation, please join us. God's children said,
Amen.
If you'd please stand and turn to page 707, we'll sing the hymn of promise. If you would turn to page 880, we will have our affirmation of faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead
and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Be seated.
Will the children please come forward? Oh, boy. Everybody's excited to be here, I can tell. Now, in our scripture, we're going to hear about a choice between life in the spirit and life in the flesh. Now, anybody have any brilliant ideas about what that might mean? It's a hard one, so it's okay if you don't. We're going to talk about something that you might know in just a second, but let me see if anybody can tell me or has a guess about life in the spirit versus life in the flesh. That's a hard one. Okay, well, what we're going to talk about is something that you all know about way more than any of us adults in here. Some of us adults might know this a little bit, but how many of you are familiar with Harry Potter? Yay! Okay, we all know Harry Potter. Now, there's a big nemesis, that means an enemy, in Harry Potter. And what is his name? Lord Voldemort is the big enemy. And what do we know about Lord Voldemort? What can you tell me about him? He's what? He has no nose. Okay, well, that's a physical characteristic. That's a physical characteristic. But what about his other characteristics? What is he? He's kind of bad. He has what? He has forbidden spells. Okay, so he's kind of an evil kind of guy. Well, I'm going to share with you that I believe Lord Voldemort is an example of living by the flesh. He's about getting what he wants, no matter what happens to anybody else. And do you know what is the one thing he wants? Anybody know what he wants? To get Harry Potter. That's true. Harry Potter represents something else. We're going to talk about Harry Potter. He wants what?
A stone.
A stone. Okay. That could be. I don't remember. I didn't read the book. But what I'm looking for is he wants to be immortal. He wants to be immortal. Isn't that right? Yeah. And what he does is he divides his soul into seven pieces, and he hides them in various objects and people and things. He hides those things, and then when he gets his soul back, he kills that person, doesn't he? It's called a Horcrux. A Horcrux. You remember what a Horcrux is? He hid them in various places. These seven parts of his self or his soul was hidden. And he had to try to get each one, but each time he did, he would kill whatever object it was in. So murder and mayhem rippled out from all his activities. That's a pretty bad guy. And he represents life in the flesh, which was being self-centered and not considering anybody else. It didn't matter who he hurt, did it? Now, Harry Potter, on the other hand, lives by the Spirit. He understands the world as a good place, and he sees love as the thing that holds the world together. And he knows that he was loved so much by his mother that what happened? She protected him. What happened to his mother? She died. She died to protect him. And he learns to treat everybody with love. He and his friends hunt and destroy all of those Horcruxes to save everyone in the world. But then we learn that Harry himself is one of those places that Lord Voldemort has hidden his soul. And so what happens to Harry? What happens to Harry? Just like what happens to everything else, he's killed. He's killed. But the surprise is that after his death, Harry learns that he still has the opportunity to live and return to his friends. His love triumphs over his death, and he's returned to his friends. So, and that's life in the Spirit. And that will help you, I hope, understand a little bit about the life in the flesh versus life in the Spirit. Now, we don't face the same kinds of things that Harry Potter did. We don't face wizards with wands or monsters. But we do meet opportunities to do what we know is wrong sometimes. And we'll hurt other people. Should we do those things? No, we're warned by Harry and by God not to do those things and not to put ourselves in front of everybody else. Who should we put first? God. That's right. That's who we should put first, is God in our lives. And that's life in the Spirit. Let's bow our heads and pray. We thank you, God, for you're loving us so much that Jesus died to protect us and save our lives. And we pray that every day we will grow a little bit more in our knowledge and love of you in all that we are, in all that we do, precious Lord. You show us the way, the truth, and the life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here we go. Let's get some candy. We continue to worship and serve our Lord this morning with the giving of our gifts, our tithes and offerings. Will the ushers please come forward? Let us pray. Oh God, we are so grateful for the mercy you show us every day in our lives, because we so often get it wrong, but we know that there is forgiveness with you. And so we ask, oh God, that you would accept these gifts that we bring and pray that you will use them and use us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Momentarily, I'm going to invite all of you who are helping with Vacation Bible School to come forward while we pray for you and for our Bible school this year. But first, I want to bring you some of the needs and issues that I know about and offer you a chance to share others that we want to pray for. I want to offer a special prayer today for Rosemary Gogler. She's still in the hospital. She's been in there a week, and she's suffering with double pneumonia, and she's quite ill, and she would covet our prayers. She's not ready to have visitors yet. She's really too sick to talk, but she knows that you love her and that you will pray for her, and she needs that prayer from us. I continue to pray for Gene Story, who is making progress and is feeling well, and in another 2 weeks might be finished with her chemotherapy treatments. And so we're praying for her and the outcome of that. I want to pray for Rhonda Barlow, who's not here today. Does anybody know when her surgery is scheduled for? Because it was canceled from last week. When? The 18th. And today's the 16th, so I guess that's 2 days from now. 2 days from now. She's having knee replacement surgery, and so we want to remember her. And speaking of bad knees, we want to remember Walter Bonner, who is here and also will be having knee surgery in a matter of weeks. And let me see. I wanted to mention Kim Wilds. She goes to the first service, or went to the first service, but she passed away this week. She used to come and sit in the back of the first service and wear her work uniform and then leave to go to work at the end of the service. And she was a young woman. She was only 53 years old. And we want to remember her family that is just reeling from the sudden loss for her. And so we want to remember Kim and her family today. Now, are there others that we need to share or lift up today to God that I can make sure I know about? Well, we have a lot to pray for. I would like the VBS workers to make their way forward here to the altar so that we may kneel and pray for you. Everyone who's helping, you don't have to be wearing a cape, but you notice they're wearing capes. Come on down. Yeah, we're going to kneel in a moment, and what I'm going to ask all of you to do, instead of coming, there's too many for you to come and lay your hands upon them. What I want you to do is direct your hands toward them. Direct your hands toward them, and I ask all of you to kneel, if you would. If you're able, let me put it that way, if you're able. But standing is fine. And let's all extend our hands toward them as we lift them up in prayer. We give you thanks, O God, for each and every person who is a servant of yours. Each and every one has given themselves this week to help our children and to work with our children. We pray for each child and each teacher. We pray for each helper that you will be with them this week and that you will be with us as we serve and minister people, that they too may come to know how loved they are and precious in your sight they are, that they may one day confess you as Lord and Savior. And we pray your blessing upon them and ask that you strengthen them today. Give each, you will fill it, dear Lord. You know the need before we do ourselves. Look out after us. And we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray together by saying, Our Father, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Thank you all.
If you would please stand and look through the screen behind me, we'll sing More Precious Than Silver.
Touched it.
Okay. There we go. Okay. Our scripture this morning. Yes. Our scripture this morning comes from Romans 8, verses 1 through 11. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free, free from the law of sin and of death. For God has done what the law, weakened by flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And to deal with sin, he condemns sin in the flesh, so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit. Since the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you through the body, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also, though his Spirit that dwells in you. This is a word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Amen. I'm going to do some name dropping today. And what I want to do is a little contest. For the one who knows every single name that I mention, there's a reward. There's a reward. And I'll tell you what it is, the reward, later. You don't know the reward yet, so. Okay, the first one is this. Anybody remember Yogi Berra? Okay, there's a few who know him. He was a baseball player and worked in baseball his entire life, but he was probably even more well known for the things he said. He was not very, what's the word I want to say? He was not very articulate. That's a nice way of putting it. Correct? Politically correct. Well, that's probably true, too. But one thing he said, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. Take it? I guess he was encouraging people, you know, to act, to do something. He didn't say which road to take. He just said, don't sit there, do something. But the problem with that is that it does matter which road you take. It really matters, and you can't just decide something like that by tossing a coin. Paul, in verse 2 of our Romans passage, draws a pretty stark line between two laws. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus and the law of sin and death. Two roads, if you will. These are the two roads in life, and sometimes it's not always easy to tell them apart. And maybe that's where Yogi Berra was wise. Now, here's someone else. C.S. Lewis. Anybody know C.S. Lewis? A few of you do. He wrote a number of books early in the 20th century and was a Christian writer and did the Chronicles of Narnia, Surprised by Joy, the Screwtape Letters, as Todd reminded me, things like that. He said that every day of our lives, we're moving toward our eternal destination. Each step we take, each act we make, is a move toward either heaven or hell. And that's enough kind of to make you want to sit down and not move too fast. You want to think about that for a minute and make sure you put your foot down in the right place. We don't want to move in the wrong direction. Okay, here's another one. Bob Dylan. Anybody know him? A few of you do. wrote a song that said, you got to serve somebody. It might be the devil, it might be the Lord, but you got to serve somebody. Again, those two choices. Now, I don't really believe that we sign up, most of us, intentionally or willingly to serve the devil. That's not something that we do on a conscious level, at least, most of us. But we have to admit that even when we have good intentions, we sometimes, the things we do end up helping make things worse instead of better. And boy, I sure know that in my position. My job is to make things better, but sometimes I don't know whether I've made something better or not. But the key to understanding all of this comes in verse 6 when Paul says, the attitude that comes from selfishness leads to death. But the attitude that comes from the Spirit leads to life and peace. That I'm quoting from the Common English Bible. Most of the time, I think we look at selfishness in terms of maybe little children, you know, being greedy over candy or hogging all the candy from their friends. Or perhaps we think of someone who assumes that the world revolves around them. And we know people like that. We know people whose life revolves around their own wants and desires. And all that's true, that is selfishness, but Paul is getting at something else. Not just your everyday choices. He's talking about the orientation of our lives. He's asking us to look at the question, what is at the center of your life? What does your world revolve around, or who does your world revolve around? And there are only two possible answers. One is that your world is centered on life in Christ, and the other is that your world is centered on the self. For Paul, those are your choices. That's the fork in the road. That's the moment you decide which team you are going to play for, which direction you intend to head when you put your foot down one step after another. Here's another one. Anybody know St. Augustine? You know St. Augustine, a church father, an early church father. He called sin and selfishness being bent in on oneself. And Martin Luther, anyone, said that our nature is so curved in on itself that we bend or twist the best gifts of God into a shape that serves us rather than serving God. Wow. That means it might happen to us. And we are so bent, he said, that we are not even aware that we're doing it. So what in the world can we do? Paul says, of course, life centered on the self, bent in, is death. It's a dead-end street. The attitude that comes from selfishness leads to death. There is no future in it. No future with God in it. When one is bent in and curved and twisted in on the self, one can see nothing else and has time for nothing else. This seems to be a horrible state that we're in. But it would be a real misunderstanding, I think, to think of Paul that he is telling us in this text that we should straighten up and fly right and quit being so selfish. Because it's really not that simple, is it? This is not an exhortation to be sharing and caring and a good person. He's not really seeking to give us an attitude adjustment through a stern talking to. And sometimes we think that's all there is to do, is a stern talking to, and then everything is done. What Paul is reminding us is that there is a way for us to get unbent, but that way comes from outside of ourselves. We can't unbend on our own. It's not something we can just decide to do, because we have this natural inclination toward self-regard and self-involvement. Don't you know it? We are incapable of fixing this on our own. But there is hope for us. Verse 2 reads, "The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death." Has set you free is past tense. It's already done. It's been done for us. We are free from the chains of self-regard. But unless we know we are free, we stay bent. We remain twisted and continue to dwell on self and not on the love of God in Christ. We all need to be told, we need to be reminded that we are free from this addiction to ourselves. And so Paul says in verse 9, "But you aren't self-centered because you are in the Spirit." And my favorite hymn, as some of you know, is "Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee," otherwise known as Beethoven's Ode to Joy or Hymn to Joy. And there's this image in there. "Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above." What an image, thinking of flowers who are bent down on themselves, their petals are turned in, and it's dark and there's no light. And then in the morning when the sun comes up and the world begins to warm up, what happens to the flowers? They straighten up. They unfold and open their petals and turn toward the sun, unfolding life. The Son of God, S-U-N of God, the bright, warm glow of God's love for us in Christ, unfolds us, straightens us, and turns us toward the light. It's not something we do, it's something that God has done for us, but we react, we respond to this gift. We are no longer turned in, but are able to face out to the world like a flower that unfolds at the bright love of God into the world, and melting hearts and straightening out lives. We are not self-centered. We are in the Spirit. We are in Christ. We are in God's love. We are on the right road. We are serving the Lord. We are moving in the right direction. And if there are any doubts today, I want you to recommit yourself, or maybe for the first time, commit yourself and accept that grace, that love in your life. If you'd like to do that today, you can speak to me during the singing of the last hymn or after the worship service, and we will pray together, and we will pray for your direction, that you will receive God's good gift and unfold your life, facing to the Lord of love. And that's all you need to do is say yes. And so, in a moment, we will be invited to sing, and I invite you, if you feel called to do so, to come forward and kneel and make that commitment, maybe for the first time, to the Lord of life and love. Amen and amen.
If you would please stand and turn to 600 in your hymnals, we'll sing Wonderful Words of Life.
To ask, but how many knew everyone that I said in that? How many? Oh my goodness. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Oh boy. Well, I'm going to have to make lunch for you all, because that's the prize, is lunch with the pastor. May the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, the love of God, our heavenly Creator, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, rest now and abide with you as you leave this place. Go in His peace. Amen.